Daf Chaf Aleph.
Everything okay?
Yeah, just
Okay.
thank you. So Gemara says five lines down. Tani Tani Kami Rabbi Yochanan Al Meis Bein Biyad Bein Bekli. So a person he does we're talking about sreeta, I think, scratching his skin still. If he scratches it on a mace, whether he uses his hand or he uses a kli. So al avodas kochavim biyad chayiv bekli pater. But if it's for avodah zarah purposes, he's trying to do some type of avoda for avodah zarah. So if it's biyad, so then it's chayiv. But if it's only bekli, so then he would be pater. So Gemara says, "V'ha ipcha ksiv." Don't we have the opposite? It's written in the pasuk by Yisgodu, "Kimishpatam b'charavos uvirimachim." It's referring to avodah zarah, and this says they used to use swords and spears to scratch their skin. So we see kli is chayiv, and yad is pater when it comes to avodah zarah. So the Gemara answers, "Ela ema biyad pater b'kli chayiv." So we switch it around. That really, if a person scratches his skin with regards to avodah zarah, he's pater, but if he uses a kli for avodah zarah, he's chayiv. But with respect to mace, we paskin that you're chayiv bein b'kli bein biyad. So then the Gemara says, V'chayiv al harosh. The Mishnah said yesterday that person is chayiv for cutting the two corners of his rosh, of his payas. So the Gemara explains, Machvei Rav Shesha. Rav Shesha showed bein pirkei resha between the joints of the head. What are the joints? So Rashi explains here, it's around almost halfway down the narrow lines, bei pirkei deresha makom haprakim shemeschabrim misham pirkei ha'atzamos, where the joints meet, the bones meet. Behind bitzda'im, which I think they define as temples. So is that what they say in English? Temple? I think they're the temples. Right around there, so is it here, is it there? But I think they define it as temples. So, what? Yeah, I don't know French. Fine. So then the Gemara says, Al-Zakan, Shai Makan, Shai Mikan, Ve'achas Milmata. It comes to a beard. So then there are five. There are two spots on the cheek area, and then one at the chin. So the Gemara says, again, Machvei Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes pointed them out, Bein Pirkei Dikna, between, again, the joints on the beard, on the face. And Rashi goes through where these are, a bunch of different opinions which they refer to, and we're not really sure, Lamaisa, which one they refer to, the cheekbone here, maybe the bone here, the bone down here. So we're machmir not to use a razor anywhere on the face. So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer im Natlan. So what's he referring to, im Natlan? What? What's the rest of his Mishnah? If you took the one in the corners, you're chayiv only one. So if you cut all them, you're chayiv only one for all of them together. Kesavar chad lav hu. He felt that they're all considered one lav. So you violate one lav all one time. It was in be'el helam achad, in one helam, that only is going to be one set of malchus. So then the Gemara says, Ve'inu chayiv achi lenu bitar. The Mishnah also said, you're only chayiv if you use a razor, something that really destroys the hair and down to the skin. So the Tanur Rabbanan, who passes a kanam lo yigalechu, and the corners of your beard, of the face, you shouldn't destroy, you shouldn't shave off. Yachla filu galchei b'misvarayim yechayiv. One might think, if you use scissors, you'd be chayiv as well. Tamar lomar lo tashchis, you shouldn't destroy, and scissors don't destroy. If you look at Rashi, the last five narrow lines down, tamar lomar lo tashchis, umisparayim eno mashchisim, using a scissor doesn't destroy. Shein chotchin sear bitzad ikar kitar. It doesn't uproot the roots of the hair, it just cuts it shorter. But if you use a scissor, you always feel, remember, I think Rav Goldvich used to say, no, Rav Goldvich, maybe it was Rav Yisrael Domitrovsky in Hakotel, he said that if you shave and you feel the stubble, if you go the opposite direction, you could feel the stubble, that would be indicative that it doesn't cut the roots. That's usually, that's the litmus test, whether or not it's considered, you know, the electric shaver is whether it has a din of a misparayim, or if it's a din of a tar. So if you feel some stubble still there after you've shaved, that would indicate again that you haven't uprooted the roots of the seyar. So scissors don't do that, so that's allowed. So then the Gemara says, Ilo Tashkas, if it's about not destroying the hair entirely, Yachal im lakto bimalakit viritani yechayv. One, if you use these materials as well, I forget always what these, they're in English, what they're called, but also things that could remove it. What do they call it?
Depilatory.
Yes, that's why I don't remember, because I don't know what that is. So
it puts like this paste on your...
Okay.
And then, Israel, they use it, they go up with it.
Okay. Okay. All right. Tweezers. Okay, so we have something, other thing that's not a razor that you use to get rid of it, cream or tweezers. That has to be something that does a normal way of shaving. So what does that mean? So Rashi explains, actually first we'll finish the Gemara, then we'll read Rashi. Ha-ketzad, giluach sheyesh ba'ashchasa. If it's a shaving that is destroying the hair, Havi Omer is etar. That's tar. That's the definition of a razor. The Rashi explains the last three narrow lines here. Giluach sheyesh ba ashchasa derech legaleach bo umashchis has to be the derech, has to be normal. Haynu tar has to be a razor that's typically used. Avar hitani mashchis veino derech legaleach bo. This type of cream or tweezers, whatever you define as, although it could destroy, it's not the derech giluach. And Misparim is the opposite. Misparim is Megalchin. It does shave it. Vein Mashchisim. It doesn't destroy. It has to be something that's normal to use to be shaved and also destroy, which would be a razor or anything that's similar to a razor. Okay. Gemara now says, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Afil Lektam, Bimalaki Viritani Chayv. He thought if you're using these items, it would be Chayv as well. Marashach. How can you say this? E Gamar Gzer Shava Li Baitar. If he uses a Gzer Shava, so Rashi explains Gzer Shava is Peya in Mesechus Kedushin. They bring this Gzer Shava. Where's he learning from? Learning from here to here from where? The Kohanim, I think, right? Okay, don't bring it down here. Okay, fine. So those two. So then you should require tar, only tar, because at the source of Kohanim, they would only refer to tar.
Right,
V'i lo gamar, if you don't learn it, gzer shava, misparim nami lo. If it's no gzer shava, so there's no yigalechu idea, anything that, no hashchasa idea rather, so then anything that's migalech should be chayv, even misparim. So either you say only tar, or everything. How could you say tar plus melake ritani, but not misparim? You're kind of going, you're somewhere in the middle, you're stuck in between. So the Gemara answers, Li olam gamar gzer shava. He does hold of a gzer shava, and you have to use only things that like a tar, but Kesavar Rabbi Elazar felt Hani Nami Giluach Avdi. These are considered Derech Giluach. So Machlokas is whether using this material Malakit Ritani, whether that's considered Derech Giluach or not. That's Machlokas Rabbi Elazar versus the Chacham.
So it has to be both, actually.
Yeah, you need a Giluach and Heshchasa.
It's not,
and not Mashchas, exactly. And Ritani, according to Tanakhama, is Mashchas, but it's not Derech Giluach. Rabbi Elazar agrees to the principle, he just thinks that this Ritani is considered a Derech Giluach. That's right. Exactly. Everyone agrees it's Mashchis, right, but they're debating whether it's considered Derech Giluach. Everyone requires Derech Giluach and Mashchis. Question, what falls under that category?
Derech Giluach is a positive or a negative? It's Derech Giluach.
Well,
you shouldn't use it?
Oh, you shouldn't. If it's Derech Giluach, then you shouldn't use it. That means it's normal. It's called Giluach. The Pasuk says Giluach in it. But if you're doing some other weird way of, let's say, tweezers, no one shaves up tweezers, that's not normal, that's like a shinur, then you wouldn't be chayv. Okay. The mission now tells us, Kosev ksuvas kaka, kosev v'lo kaka, kaka v'lo kosev, eino chayv ad shichto v'yikakea b'yado u'v'chachol b'chol davar shiroshim. So it's referring to tattoos. So a person makes a tattoo on his arm or anywhere in the body, so if he writes, but he's not kakea, which Rashi explains if you look three wide lines down in the Mishnah, ksuvas kaka, kosev t'chila al b'saro b'samo b'sikra, you first... I don't know how actually tattooing works. I've never seen it. But I imagine it's something similar to this, where you first kind of color or paint, use some type of coloring on the skin. Then you use a needle to press the ink into the skin. Or you use a knife. It gets embedded between the flesh and the skin. Same thing, I guess, the meat inside and the skin. It's there forever. And kaka is called pontvayrir. V'asa lichtov shum ksiva ba'olam al besarob inen gzeh shekain gzeh sakasa. You can't tattoo. This is the way of doing it. So if you do writing without needling, or needling without tattoo, or without writing, it's not chayv until you use something that's permanent, that's there forever. Now there's a debate, does it mean forever or does it mean for a long period of time? So there's a discussion the Achronim talk about, let's say some women, perhaps some men as well, use permanent makeup. So they talk about a makeup that lasts for a few years. So some say, well, the Rambam has his lashon of li'olam, has to be there forever, so that would be fine if it lasts for 5 years. Others say, zman gadol, if it's zman gadol, this would be a problem. But they get into a whole discussion whether or not, if it's only for avodah zarah purposes, this is not for avodah zarah purposes, so maybe it would only be asur midirbanan according to some. We're going to see a little bit about that in the Gemara. But it's very halacha l'maisa. Someone, let's say, who needs chemotherapy, and they lose all the hair, and they lose the eyebrows as well, and they don't want it to look funny when it comes back. All the hair comes back, but the eyebrows don't come back. So many times they'll have a tattoo. I'm not sure how exactly it's done, if it's like a tattoo people have on their arms, or it's some permanent makeup for a long period of time. But that's a shaila, but how are you allowed to do that? And I think it's brought down in the postgame. If you're not doing l'shem avodah zarah, and it's not recognizable, that's being done for a tattoo. It's no one could notice it. If you look carefully enough, or if you know the person went through chemo, then you would know. But it's not near le'enayim. So there are, I believe, some heterim in having a tattoo in that way. Fine. So then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Mishim Rabbi Shimon Omer, Eino chayv ad sheyichtov shem es Hashem shenemar uksuvas kaka lo titnu bachem ani Hashem. It's not, you're not chayv until you write the shem. And Rashi points out, and the Gemara is going to tell us, it's referring to a shem of Avodah Zarah. Unfortunately, we see many, not we see, but there are cases people write shem Hashem, which becomes a problem when they become religious. And then they go to the mikvah, that becomes other shilas, which the Gemara itself does talk about. But this is not talking about shem Hashem, this is referring to a shem of Avodah Zarah. So then the Gemara says, Amar le Rav Acha, b'rei di Rav le Rav Ashi, Ad di yichtov ani Hashem mamish. You have to say, write those words. The pasuk says, Ksuvas kaka lo titnu bachem, quote, ani Hashem. Only if you write Ani Hashem are you chayv. So Amar Lei, lo. Kidatani bar kapara, eino chayv ad sheyichtov shem avodas kochavim. He argues, no, not those words. It's not until you write a name of avodas zara. Shenemar chsuvas kaka lo titna bechem Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem v'lacher. The pasuk saying, I'm the Hashem and nothing else. You can't write the shame of avodas zara on your skin. So then the Gemara says, this is a Gemara that appears many times. Amar Rav Malkia, Makaya, Amar Rav Ada bar Ava, Asilo le Adam shitein efer makla agave makaso mipnei nires kiksuvas kaka. So you can't place efer makla, which is some type of ashes, you can't put on the skin, because even though it's not going to be there forever, it still looks like it's a avodah zara. It looks like rather a tattoo. So this is very halach l'maaseh. The kids go to the, you know, the wherever Chuck E. Cheese, and they get a fake tattoo and put it on their arm. You know, it's not real when the kid's wearing it, and in like 2 hours it starts to come off. So I remember in camp, one of the rabbis was very upset. He saw a kid had it. He was screaming at him, that's usher, usher, usher. I don't know if that would be the case, to be honest. I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't let my kids do it. I'm not sure if I would scream at a kid for it either. But it sounds like from here, something that really looks like a real tattoo. Everyone knows that's not a real tattoo. So I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not paskening.
When you go to but, the amusement park and they...
Yeah, all these different cases. This idea that everyone knows that's not a tattoo. That's not, that doesn't get into the skin at all. But I hear, yeah, they talk about writing notes on your hands also. The same thing about the tattoos, the stamps, all those come up. And I think they all say if it's not, everyone knows it's not used for a tattoo, it's permitted. But others are very makbid on this because of this Gemara.
So I'm sorry, so the Mishnah is Midiraisa and now we're learning Midirabanan.
Exactly. But the rice, you have to ink and needle it in.
And whatever we're saying now is Midrabah.
This is all on the surface, which is not going to last forever, but in Sinira, it appears like Suvas Kak. It's an interesting shayla, it's an interesting sugya to give. What applications is it really, what does the Isser Midrabanan apply to? So then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Bered Rav Ika Shripud Shvachos Vegumos. These are three different sugyas, we're not going to get involved in them. Rav Makayo was the author of those three sugyas. He was the Baal Mechaber of those three discussions. Beloris, Efer Makla, which is our sugya, and Vigvina, Rav Malkaya, with the Aleph at the end, as opposed to Vav, two different people. So Rav Papa Amar, Masnisinu Masnisa, Rav Malkaya, those sugyas that appear in a Mishnah of Brisa, they're Tanaic statements, that was said by Rav Malkaya, Shmaitza, Rav Malkaya, and when it comes to a Gemara, Rav Malkaya, with a Vav, he was the author of that sugya. Vesimanach, and the mnemonic to this is Masnisa Malkasa. Masnisa Malkasa, the Mishnah is king, literally, or something along those lines. Rashi explains that Mishnah is Braisos Iker, and they're the Iker. So Malkasa, so Rav Malka, with an Aleph at the end, he was the author of all those Tanaic statements found in the Masnisa. So Mai Benai, what's the difference? What's the Nafkamina between Rav Papa's understanding, Rav Nachman's understanding of grouping these different sugyas? Again, you have to really walk through Rashi to figure out what's going on here. This is a very technical point. My benai ikimenai was shvachos. It's machlokes shvachos, because apparently shvachos was written in the, I forget which way this goes now. This is a shmaitza. So according to Rav Papa, this was written by Rav Makayo.
It was the opposite.
Opposite was a masnisa.
Yeah, because it was written with Rav Makayo.
So Rav Nachman says that Shvachos, right, he holds, Rav Nachman holds Shvachos was written by Rav Makaya with a Vav. So Rav Papa must hold that Shvachos was actually Masnisa written by Rav Makaya with an Aleph. Rav Bibi Bar Abai Kapid Afilu Arivda Dikusilsa. He was Makbid even on this. What is this? If you look at the Rashi, the last line, Rashi says Rivda is a Makiv, there's a wound, a cut. Kuslisa is a Kli Shemakibo. So what exactly is it referring to there? Yeah, you would put the ashes on that cut. If you had a kazas dam, you had a little blood.
Even a small, like,
we won't notice it. Even a kol shehu.
Yeah.
Okay. Rav Ashi Amar Kol Makom Sheyesh Maka Makasa Mochia Chalav. Whatever there's a maka, so then the maka is going to be that everyone knows. You're putting it there to help you heal better, not putting it there to put a tattoo on. Now, it's only true if you notice a tattoo. I mean, notice the wound. If you cover the wound up entirely and you can't see the cut anymore because it's covered in ashes, then you probably wouldn't be at that point. I think if you cover up it entirely, according to Ashi, it's only when the maka is mochiach alav. But if you can't notice it...
I think that there's zero inyan already from the beginning if nobody can see. Because the whole thing is that it looks like it, no?
So that's a shayla, and he was just, I think this seemed to be a chumar. Rabib himself was makbid. It says right. He was, I'm guessing he's makbid for himself.
Because the issur is not to do it, is that people should see, it would look like you're...
Correct.
Like you're
so if it's so small, but he was kind of, it seems to me, he was staying away from it, just sometimes we try to avoid, and it sounds like a chumar to me, on his level.
If you have a bandage on it, then it's a wound. Then it looks
right,
like
yeah, it. Yeah. Fine. Mishnah says, Nazir shehaya shotse yayin kol hayom, a person, a Nazir rather, was drinking wine all day long. Eino chayiv ela achas. He only chayiv one lav. Amru lo, they said to him, al tisha v'hu shotse chayiv akol achas v'achas. They keep telling him, don't drink wine. Don't drink wine. And after each hasra, he drinks wine. He's chayiv separate lavin on each of them. Hayom etami lemesim kol hayom eino chayiv ela achas. He's a Nazir. He's walking in the base kfaros all day long. He's chayiv just one set of lashes. But Amru lo, if they say to him, al titma, over and over again, they keep warning him. And each time he gets warned, he's humatama, he's chayv again, al kalachas vechachas. And then the third case, the third issur that applies to a nazir, hayamagaleach kol yom, he's shaving his head, his beard, whatever, all day long, ain a chayv el achas, he's only chayv once. But again, if they warn him, Amru lo, al tigaleach, hu migaleach, he cuts it anyways, chayv al kalachas vechachas. Hayalavish beklayim kol yom, he's wearing shatnez all day long, ain a chayv el achas. But Amr Lo, if they say to him, Al Tidbash, don't get dressed, don't put it on, you should take it off. Who posh it velove, she takes it off, puts it back on each time, then he's chayv al kalachas viachas. Now if he just wears it, so you're not chayv for wearing it. If the guy says take it off, I don't take it off, you're not chayv. You're only chayv if you take it off and put it back on. You need a maisa levisha to be considered to get chayv a separate malkos. Fine. Now this is where malkos gets a little bit interesting when it starts combining different lavim together. So the Mishnah now says in the very top of the Amud Beis, Yesh Choresh Telem, Echad, a person could plow a one or burrow of furrow of the land. V'chayv alav mishum shmona lav, he could be chayv eight different sets of lashes. HaChoresh Bishor V'cham, or if he's using two different animals, that's a one iser of a klaim. And V'hein Mukdashim, they're also Mukdash, they're Kedushas Guf, you can't use them for Charisha. Who climbed the caravan? He's now busy plowing an area of climb. Now we have to get to this because the climb usually is planting two different species together, grapes and wheat, not plowing. So we're going to get to that, but that's another iser. U b'shvi is where you're not allowed to work the land at all, and it's yom tov as well. There's an iser malacha, and he's a kohen and a nazir at the same time. A beis atuma, so that we know a kohen and a nazir can be mitame. So that is how you could accomplish eight lavim all in one maisa.
And if it's Shabbos yom tov, it's all in one.
If it's Shabbos, why don't they say Shabbos?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. The Gemara itself is going to leave out, it's going to get to a case of Shabbos. Yom Tov. It might be the question of the Gemara, I'm not sure exactly. The Mishnah now says, Hanani ben Chachinai omer af haloish klaim. The guy could be wearing shatnez and he could get a ninth this or there.
No, he says that it's not allowed. Shabbos is a Nisa.
That's why it wouldn't be Malkus. Okay.
It wouldn't be Malkus.
So now Chananiah ben Chachinai makes a suggestion. If he's wearing shatnez, that should be a ninth iser, all at the same time. And they respond back, Amru lo, eino Hashem, that's not the same type of iser. All the other types of iser listed was a maisa harisha. You can't do harisha and yantiv, you can't call harisha and shviyat. It's all a maisa harisha. This is a whole other iser of levisha. Yeah, the guy could be doing a lot of things at the same time. He could be eating bas b'chalav and treif and everything. And so why don't they include that? Because we're talking about one maisa, one action, not one moment. So the Gemara then says, Amalem af ha-nazir lohu Hashem. So to a nazir. The nazir is not chai because of charisha, he's chai because of halicha, because he's kanisa, because he entered into the Beis HaKfar. So there is no response back. I don't remember if the Gemara does or not, but that's the dialogue in the Mishnah. The Gemara now says, Amar Rabibi, Amar Rabbi Yossi, poshe v'lovesh v'lovesh mamish, arfil machnes emotzi beis yad on kali shalom. Does it mean when it comes to the case of the shatnez, he takes off the clothing entirely and puts it back on? Or does he take off one arm and put the arm back in? How does it work? What's the isser here? So the Gemara answers, Machvei Rav Acha Brei de Rav Ika Ayulei Vafuke. It sounds like he takes his hand out and puts it back in. You don't have to remove the entire beged, just that part of the beged. So what's the reason for this, though? What's the pshat? I'm not sure the pshat. Because the idea of shatin is I guess that's not called levisha. If a guy's wearing it, half the shirt on his half his body, and the other half of the arm isn't on, that's not considered levisha.
It seems he has to the whole arm in and out.
The Rashi, the Rivan says mamish.
Right. It would seem that it's
the whole arm or the whole...
It's more like a kula than a chumra, what he's answering.
Let's see.
It's a machloka, so what is what doing the whole thing?
Uh-huh.
Rivan says I'll take it off completely. The Rashbam says it's only just taking it off the sleeve.
Okay, so it's a machloka. So the question is, why is taking off just one arm, let's say? Why would that be considered a new wearing? So again, my guess is it's not considered wearing unless you're wearing the whole thing. I think that would just be a pashut svara.
He's going back to the Chacham and what they hold as far as being a Kohen and Nazir.
Uh-huh.
He says that the Kohen and Nazir, that's they hold as an integral part of the plowing because you have to lead the animal. So being a Kohen and Nazir, because you have to lead the animal, so that's counted.
Yeah, but still, that's not a Maisa Harisha, that's a Maisa Knisa.
No, it's considered Maisa Harisha because you have to lead the animal. That's part of
Yeah,
the
but for me to be to get an Isser of base Kraus, it has to do a Knisa. I don't need the Harisha to get the Isser. I just need to do a Knisa. Okay, that knows a lot more than me.
Yeah, so if I was a shot, the shotness is like completely different. You know, you could lead them when you're not wearing anything.
Right. The other explanation, by the way, of removing the hand could be also they discuss what the isser of shotness is about a ma'isa levisha or is it a ma'isa chimum, the warmth. The reason the shotness is based on giving you warmth. So once your arm is out, you're not getting the full warmth from the body, from the shirt like you're supposed to. That might also be the explanation as to why removing one sleeve would be sufficient and putting it back on would be another violation if you hold that way against the Ravan. Okay, the Gemara now says, Rav Ashi Amar filu lo shaha ela kedei lifshod vilul vosh chayv. He felt that you didn't even have to take it off at all. As long as you wait a few moments and enough time it takes to wear it, take it off and put it back on, that zman of waiting is enough to be mechayv a person another set of lashes. So then the Gemara says, Yesh charish telem. So the Gemara is talking about that part of the Mishnah. You could get eight lavim in one plowing. Amar biyanei bechabura nimnu v'gamru. In that gathering, they had made a vote, and they decided, Hachofe b'klayim loke. A person covers up klayim, you're going to be loke. That's considered a subcategory for the Isser of Zeria. The klayim, it comes to, as an Isser to plant them together. So the Pasuk says, Lo sizer klayim, you can't plant them. So covering them up is just like a Zeraya. So Amar lehen Rabbi Yochanan, La Mishnah Seinu Hizu. It's not like our Mishnah. Yesh Choresh Chalom Echad. So there are there's a person who could plow and get chayv eight different sets of lashes. So when our Mishnah talks about the choresh in the Mishnah, what type of choresh? What's the iser? Lav mechase behadei de azel is not referring to that when you're covering it up. So that's exactly our Mishnah. So what's the chiddush of the chabur is nimnu v'gamru that a chofe b'klayim is sloka? That's the first Mishnah Maseches Makas. We don't need a chabur to tell us that. Everyone knows this Mishnah that covering up klayim is chai. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. So Amar Lei, so he says ilam didali lechachaspa mi meshkachas marganitza tusa. Had you not removed the part of the pottery, would you not have found this? You wouldn't have understood the Mishnah. Meaning, I taught you the Pshat of the Mishnah. You would have understood the Mishnah to be saying something different. Because I told you the Pshat of the Mishnah, now you say, oh, it's a Mefurish Mishnah. Like a person's Mechavin to Rabbi Kivager, you only Mechavin to Rabbi Kivager because he put that Torah into the world. Had it not been for that, you wouldn't have been Mechadish it. Even though you didn't hear Rabbi Kivager himself, once that Torah exists in the world, it makes it very accessible. So what's the other way to understand the Mishnah? So Amar Lei, Rosh Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, Ilav de Kilsacha Gavir Abba, had not been for the praise that you gave this great person, Havamina, I would have understood the mission in a very different way. It wouldn't have been an issue of Chofe. I would have thought the mission was money, was a Rabbi Akivahi. Damar Hamakayim Kalayim Aloka, that one who's Makayim, one who just preserves it, not necessarily being Chofe, but someone who preserves it, that's what the mission is referring to here. So what's my Rabbi Akiva? If a person takes out the weeds around the klayim, or if he covers up klayim, he's chayv. And Rabbi Akiva Omer af makayim, even one who just simply maintains it, not necessarily covers up, but just maintains it. So we would have thought the Mishnah was referring to not a chofa as a klayim, but just makayim, just kind of preserving the area around it, which isn't even, let's say, it was covered already. Let's say it was covered. I'm just coming over it to preserve it and make sure there are no weeds there. That's what the Mishnah is referring to, and not referring to chofa. So that's the other thought, And it's not until this chabur was nimnu v'gamru that no, chofe v'klaim, covering the klaim, is chayv loke, chayv malkos. Then we can look back and understand the Mishnah that way, and not referring to maintaining, and not referring to mekayim, the klaim, like Rabbi Akiva. So Gemara wants to know, my time with Rabbi Akiva. Why does Rabbi Akiva hold that mekayim klaim is actually chayv? The Tanya, the pasuk, is quoted in the Braisa, sadech alo sizer klaim. In your field, you shouldn't plant klaim. You shouldn't mix breed different types of species. Ein li ela zareya. I only know from the pasuk zareya. Mekayim minayin. How do I know maintaining it is a problem as well? Tamilomar, kalayim sadechalo. The fact that tizra is at the end, you can almost ignore the word tizra. It should say sadcha, klaim sadcha, lo, period. That there should never be any klaim. Even maintaining klaim would be iser. Sizra, then we add the word sizra, seems unnecessary. That tells me that there's another iser. So that's the source of Rabbi Kiva in terms of the order of the words in the pasuk. Okay. Gemara says we'll do a few more lines and we'll stop here. Amar le'ula le'rav Nachman luke nami mishim zareya biyomtif. Why not say it's a problem of being zareya? Right, not zareya as well in yomtif. So Rashi explains here. They don't explain here, but mechapa zareya. Once we say mechapa, covering up, there's a discussion in general whether covering up is considered choresh or zareya. But right now it seems the Gemara is assuming when you cover up the seeds, it could accomplish both harisha and zriya on the same maisa. You get zareya as well. Exactly, right, yeah. So why not also get zareya for the same maisa? So the Gemara says, Amar le, Tana, Vishar, I left it off the list, Einacharami, but the Mishnah wasn't being so exact and so thorough. Amalei, Tana Katani Shmona. That Amr is Tana Vishire. You can't say Tana Vishire. If the Mishnah gives you a number, that means it's defined. So Amar Rava, Yesh Chilik Malachas B'Shabbos, Vein Chilik Malachas B'Yamtav. There's a very important klal here that when it comes to Shabbos, you violate all 39. In theory, it could be Chayiv 39 Chatos, 39 types of Skilas. On Yantif, once you're Chayiv 1, you can do as many as you want, it'll only be Chayiv 1. There's no Chilik Malachas on Yantif. You could be doing Zareya, Choresh, Zareya, whatever it is, and only get one Malchus. So that's why, even though he might be doing Zareya, he wouldn't be liable for Zareya once he's liable for the Choresh. So we'll continue this tomorrow. This discussion. Okay. What? What did I do?
Four more words.
Amalei Ada Tehe. So what does Ada Tehe mean? Okay, very good. Shkoyach. Beautiful.